Welcome to the Creative South Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Frostholm. We're wrapping up the bonus episodes recorded live at Weapons of Mass Creation. In this episode, I sit down with Ryan Rogar of R2 Media Group and talk with him about working with a partner in Spain, the challenges of splitting time between two continents, how he got where he is today, and more, all right after this.
Are you ready to explore your creativity and meet a ton of new friends while you're doing it? Join us April 6th through 9th in Columbus, Georgia for Creative South, where you come as friends and leave as family. Head over to creativesouth.com and get your tickets now for the greatest conference this side of the Mississippi. Plus, keep listening to the podcast for more exclusive news on CS17 speakers, events, and workshops coming soon.
If you like the podcast and want to help support us, head over to patreon.com/creativesouth. Every dollar helps us cover hosting costs, upgrade equipment, and keep the podcast going. When you become a Creative South patron, you get access to exciting Creative South news before anyone else, Creative South podcast stickers and t-shirts, and you could even get your own podcast episode. So please help support the podcast by becoming a patron over at patreon.com/creativesouth. So this is the last live Creative South podcast at WMC Fest at like 12:30 at night and in a hotel room. And I am joined by my guest, Ryan. And Ryan, what's your last name again?
It's Rogar.
Ryan Rogar.
Yeah, Ryan Rogar.
That makes sense with the R squared thing.
Yeah. I know it's not so clever, but
hey, it works.
Yeah.
So, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Okay. Well, R2 Media Group, my company, is a creative agency based in Salt Lake City and Barcelona, Spain. We are sort of born and raised in Idaho, state of Idaho, a city called Pocatello. And 4 years ago, we moved down to Salt Lake. So that's where we're presently sort of headquartered.
Gotcha. So where does the Spain part come in?
Basically, 2 years ago, we met a person in Salt Lake City who ended up becoming our partner through a series of crazy events. Mm-hmm. And now we've got her office in Barcelona. And then we have some new friends and new relationships in Western Spain also. So we're starting to grow towards Madrid as well.
Awesome.
So it's just a weird, small world set of coincidences.
And then we were talking before we hopped on the mics. So you guys just did a conference over there, and you were over there for like a month, right?
Yeah. We were there a month in a city called Valladolid. It's about an hour and a half north of Madrid. And our conference, the purpose for the conference was we were speaking to Spanish entrepreneurs that want to do business in the U.S., and cool. We're hoping, you know, through our marketing and then also sort of through a consulting company that we've formed over there to help facilitate these companies bringing their products and services into the U.S. Awesome. So in cooperation with the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, we'll be bringing between 18 and 20 companies from that area of Spain. It's called Castilla y León. And we'll be bringing these companies out to attend the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce National Convention in Miami this October. And so nice. So we're hoping we'll broker some deals and make some friends and see if we can actually get the ball rolling. It's going to be a lot of agriculture. Mm-hmm. This part of Spain is really well known for their wines, their cheeses, their meats. And the country of Spain is really looking to increase their exports to the U.S. So there's sort of a national interest in doing this. And we've seen some national support and lots of regional support. So we're optimistic we'll see some cool things in the not too distant future.
Cool. So what is your background as far as profession wise?
Sure. Yeah. My background, I sort of came up through the ranks as a lot of creative designers and art directors did. As a kid, I drew and painted and sculpted and did sort of, you know, the art route. Mm-hmm. As I got a little older, I went to work for a book publishing company and sort of learned, you know, Photoshop and a lot of design software because I was laying out books and designing collateral materials to support books. While I was doing that, I worked for that company 5 years. And mm-hmm. in that period of time, I started freelancing in the evenings as we all seem to do. And so I'd work at the bookshop from 8 to 5, and then from 6 to 2, we'd run the freelance business. And
okay.
After 5 years at the publishing company, I was laid off. They had lost some business and they were forced to let me go. And at that point, I'd built up enough of a freelance career. I was able to just go to work for myself. So I did that for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And we were calling ourselves a creative agency. But at that point, I'd literally never stepped inside an agency. We were just, you know, that, we knew that was the name, but I didn't have any experience in that field. So I got this wild idea to offer a month of my time free in exchange to a number of different agencies in sort of exchange for learning the agency business. And we approached maybe 8 or 10 different shops sort of in the area, and we ended up getting one that by a bit down in Salt Lake City. And so I went down, I worked with them for a month, and in exchange, they sort of let me be a fly on the wall and learn a little bit about their business and the agency business in general.
Sure.
And after that experience, which was awesome, the agency was called Thomas Arts in Farmington, and they're really great people. And I went back to Idaho and continued doing my work. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, Thomas Arts reached out to me. They had an opening and asked if I'd come down and work as a senior art director there, and help out in agency. So at that time, I went full-time in their agency and back to freelancing in the evening hours. So our company sort of switched gears. At that point, we were doing a significant amount of business, and this is the period of time when we brought on my partner in Spain.
Sure.
And so she was helping me offset the workload, and we were able to sort of carry on. Did that for about 3 years, and after that time, I was laid off again due to, you know, agency ups and downs.
Sure.
And it went back out, sort of fell on my feet again because, you know, we had been growing the business the whole time. And here we are about 2.5 years later now, and we're still doing great and growing all the time.
Gotcha. So, and out of the curiosity, who's the we in this equation?
Well, first of all, it's a good habit or a bad habit, but I always say we. I always speak in the we's, as we call it.
Sure. But I do the same thing.
Yeah. But we're sort of, you know, trying to sound bigger than we are. There's myself and my partner. We're basically full time. Mm-hmm. And we call our agency a mobile agency, meaning we don't keep a brick and mortar store or office anymore.
Sure.
We did that in Idaho, but after we moved to Utah, we kind of gave that up. A lot of our clients are all over the country, so we're bouncing around to clients' shops and things, and we do a lot of in-house where we'll, you know, fly to California and work in-house for one of our clients for a week and then fly back and go to the next client or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we do a lot of bouncing around, so it just wasn't practical for us to keep a shop. And
yeah,
so, yeah, so what we usually end up doing is just sort of bouncing around that way. And then we bring on a lot of freelance help from all over the country to help us do whatever we need to do. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. So in general, it's just the two of us that are the full time. And then we've got a, you know, broad network of people.
Contractors that can help you out.
Yeah, lots of contractors that can help us out, you know, if something arises. We have a pretty diverse skill set, so we can manage most things that come our way.
Sure.
But, you know, but we're trying to grow this thing, and we're trying to help it, I guess, turn the corner, get to the next level. And so, and right now, in particular, we're up to our eyeballs. So
that's
we're,
a good problem to have,
great. Yeah, it's amazing. We couldn't be happier, so.
Cool. So what are the challenges of working with... Well, you're a multinational company now. So what are the challenges with working with someone in Barcelona versus you being here in the States?
Well,
and since you're based in Salt Lake City, you've got three time zones in the States, and then however many time zones that is. It'll
yeah, basically, in Barcelona, they're 8 hours ahead of us. And actually, okay. It gives us a pretty unique advantage over a lot of sort of other agencies or other, you know, sort of competitors, people that I guess would be considered competitors. Because we have what amounts to more or less a 18 to 20 hour work day, because I can start a project in the morning, she can finish it in the evening, you know, and,
sure.
And so it works out pretty slick, you know, that helps us have pretty rapid turnaround for projects that come in, because we can sort of spend, you know, 20 straight hours on a job if we need to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, our clients are loving that. And it's really sort of given us a little bit of an advantage because we can do that quick turn.
Sure.
Other advantages, my partner is native from Barcelona, so she's a native Spanish speaker, really strong English level.
How's your Spanish?
And so my Spanish is coming. It's not great yet, though. So I can order lunch and figure out where the bathroom is, but that's about as good as it gets.
El baño.
Yeah, those are the important things.
Yes.
So, but I'm working really hard at it. We have some other partners in Western Spain that don't speak any English, and so... I'm really trying to improve my level so that we can, sort of advance our relationship a little more. I have a really hard time having other people over there speaking for me or on my behalf. And I prefer to be able to do kind of business on my own. I'm a creative guy, creative person, and I really like to, you know, get an idea and be able to spitball and go back and forth with it. And unfortunately, I just can't do it in Spanish yet.
Sure.
So, but we're getting there. I take a class like 4 nights a week over Skype with a woman from Spain and then, a handful of other things, different apps and things like that. And when we do travel to Spain, I try and do as much in Spanish as I can, and I'm growing and I'm getting good at it, but I'm not there yet.
Well, yeah, because that's an interesting, because most of the Spanish you learn, if you take Spanish in the States, is this weird amalgamation of like 5 different Spanish languages.
Right. Well, and especially in the part of the country I'm from, we have a lot of sort of Mexican influence.
Sure.
And sort of Hispanic folks from that part of the world versus from Spain. And the Spanish is a little bit different. You know, it's mostly, you know, regionally different. Like, for example, in Spain, they do the th thing, the theta, they call it. And so,
Barcelona.
Yeah, Barcelona. And so, and then in Mexico, that sound, that same sound is a S sound.
Yeah.
So like Barcelona.
Yeah.
And so it's more natural for English speakers because that's how we pronounce those letters as well.
We don't speak with a weird lisp.
Right. Well, few of us, but not very many.
And at least not intentionally.
And so, but yeah, so anyway, so it's been a challenge and I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun and it's a unique challenge and it's a really cool part of the world. There's a lot of things I like about being over there. And
sure.
So, I think, you know, in general, we're really excited about that experience and hopefully we can really capitalize on it, post conference. So,
yeah, absolutely. So since your partner is in Barcelona or Barcelona, I'm assuming she is not over here with you this week.
No. She's actually one of the cultural challenges of working in Spain is the months of July and August are more or less vacation for a lot of folks.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
So my partner is awesome. She doesn't subscribe to that too much. But in the summer, there's a little more time off. So she's actually out this week on her own trip. And so and I'm here in Cleveland. So
gotcha.
Yeah. So anyway, so I will be doing double duty this week. And we're actually, thank goodness, while we've been here, we've met a number of awesome freelancers. And so we'll be bringing on some extra help this week. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Really good opportunities here. So.
Very cool. So, you know, moving forward with your company, what do you see it expanding into? Well, what do you hope to see it expand into?
Yeah, well, I mean, for us, I mean, my strength is in art direction and in advertising,
sure.
Marketing, that sort of stuff. So I presume that portion of our business will continue to grow. The work we're doing in Spain is becoming primarily consulting, and we're going to be doing a lot of services that aren't sort of natural for me. Like, I'm going to be learning a lot of things, but I'm really excited about the challenge, and we're hoping to, you know, be able to facilitate for our clients, you know, help them get the right legal counsel, help them with financing, help them all those things they need to do to sort of be able to break into this country.
Yeah.
In addition, as they bring these really high quality products from Spain to the U.S., we want to sort of help, you know, rework their messaging or whatever it is they need to do, whether it's rename a brand, rename a company, rename a product, so that they can sort of shop at any U.S. market.
Sure.
And so, because there's just a few little changes, we call it transcreation. So basically, we're going to transcreate their brands from there to here. And it's really more than a translation. It's sort of a cultural adaptation of their product or service.
Oh, yeah, I can see that because there are
There's just some differences.
Yeah.
So, and there's also a really unique opportunity here in the States that it doesn't seem that a lot of people think about it anyway. They're not talking about it anyway. Is that in our country, we have about 51 million native Spanish speakers. The country of Spain has 48 million.
I didn't realize it was that large.
Yeah, it's huge. And so it's actually bigger than a lot of Latin American countries, Spanish-speaking countries. It's bigger than Spain. And so there's opportunities just within that Hispanic market to really market products and services in Spanish language. Mm-hmm. And so when we bring a product from Spain, for example, we can go sort of, you know, twofold. We can attack that Latin market, the Hispanic market, and we can also transcreate these products or whatever for a US market, for an American market, okay, or English speaking market, I should say. And so anyway, so there's some unique challenges, but I think there's some really cool niches that we can find and identify for our clients as we're bringing them over in their own language and introducing their products to the English speaking audience as well.
Awesome.
So lots of challenges, lots of really exciting and scary things ahead. But,
so, you know, as you've kind of delved into this new world for yourself, you know, personally, what have been the biggest challenges for you?
Really, it's been, you know, I'm grateful. I've got really great clients. Our company has a very strong base of clients, and, mm-hmm, and they take great care of us. And so, the security I have with the people we do business with has allowed me the opportunity to pursue this stuff in Spain, because it'd be really hard to do if I was worried every month that we were going to shake clients and things, sure, like that. It has hindered our growth here just a tad, because we're, you know, we have fewer hours in the day to spend trying to recruit or trying to find new work. But, but we've got a pretty good balance struck right now. So personally, the biggest challenges are this overcoming this language barrier. Mm-hmm. It's really important to me to, I mean, just as a show of respect, if nothing else, to, if I plan to do business in their country, I need to be able to speak the language.
And yeah, just.
So that's a really important thing to me. And so I've been working really, really hard at that. At the same time, we're trying to, the way we talk about it in our company is turning the corner. We're trying to get from this little small shop, you know, that does big work. We have some really high-end clients and, sure, some national brands and things like that, but we, you know, we're a pretty small shop, and we'd like to sort of see that grow too. Mm-hmm. Try and build something and leave a little bit of a legacy behind. And so we'd like to see that grow too. And so, and we may find that this work we're doing in Spain ends up facilitating that.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now it's hard to say exactly where it's going to come from, because we've got our hands in about a dozen different pots.
So which side do you see growing more, the consulting side or the...
You know, the consulting stuff is still pretty fresh, so it's hard to say. We, sure, haven't seen, you know, basically there's no deals penned yet. Mm-hmm. And so our trade and our sort of discipline is still creative design and advertising. And that'll be our bread and butter for a while, I, okay, think. We're optimistic with this consultancy that we'll be able to secure some new business. And of course, a piece of that is the production work and the designing of new logos and things. So there'll be work for our shop. In addition, we'll have this consulting work. And so,
okay,
it'll sort of maybe change the landscape for us a little. So also recently, and this is just going back to sort of the growth of our agency, we've sort of started a new product we're toying with. It's kind of like a retainer relationship, but just a, sure, tad more integrated. We call it Symbiont. And the idea is basically we're two beings, our client and us, and, mm-hmm, we both, you know, succeed together. You know, apart maybe not as well, or we don't grow as well apart, but together we can achieve more, I guess.
So just strengthening relationships, yeah, and helping
so
each other out.
Yeah, so we have a really nice, tight integration with some of our clients where, you know, even in larger companies, they can work with us as if we're the guy down the hall. So we've taken sort of this idea of outsourcing and tried to bring it a little bit closer to home, mm-hmm, for people who might be a little hesitant about it. And we've actually found a nice little niche there. We're jumping in and we're either augmenting or replacing marketing teams for companies, and people seem to really be liking the service. And so I think that that's going to be sort of one of our pillars going forward is that. I mean, just this year we've picked up 4 new clients doing that, and it's just people seem to love it. So it's, like I say, maybe just a little more friendly than a traditional agency client, sure, relationship. It's a little more family than that. And so
that's a good thing to have.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things that I've pulled out of Spain and Spanish culture is they put a massive amount of importance in friends and family and personal relationships, things like that. And, mm-hmm, you know, those things are important here too, but it seems that in general, our culture, you know, we're just maybe a tad colder. We're a little more, worried somebody's going to steal our stuff or, you know, whatever it is. And over there, it's, you know, I mean, it's funny to say, but it's like the, you know, mi casa es su casa. It's, you know, it, what's mine is yours, and we're happy to help.
Yeah.
And we found over there, especially, that personal relationship with a client or a prospective client is the most important thing you can have. It's in this country, for example, our business was born at night on the internet. And, you know, there's a significant portion of our clients that I've never even met in person.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just not necessary here. They need a job. They hire us. We do the job. We're good. You know, we don't need that other piece of it. In Spain, we found a lot of resistance to that model, and people aren't really interested in doing work with you if they don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
Handshake is still wildly important over there, and I really like that. And so with this new product that we're offering, we're trying to instill some of those, you know, sort of relationship ideals. And, you know, I mean, it does sound a little bit silly, but I mean, you know, we're just trying to be friends with our clients, you know,
yeah,
and actually have that relationship. And, you know, even though it is a little weird or seems maybe a little bit normal, it's, sure. you know, not something that's ever been a real big part of our business. And so we're hoping that it will be in the future. And so anyway, so that's kind of exciting. We're making a lot of friends. And that was part of the idea for coming out here to Cleveland this week was make new friends, make new relationships, and sort of, you know, follow that that model of putting the value in people, and then the rest will follow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to kind of wrap it up. Real quickly, so what is the best advice and the worst advice you've ever gotten?
Oof, that's a hard one. Well, I think the best advice I've ever gotten sort of in terms of advertising, marketing, the creative business is really just keep your head down and just keep going. A lot of people come out of school or out of, you know, other jobs or whatever with an idea or a little entitlement where they feel like things ought to come a little easier and things ought to be sort of handed over. And, you know,
sure.
that's something that's never resonated with me, but it's a very common sentiment nowadays. And so we heard a few people speaking here this week in Cleveland, you know, that were really reinforcing that idea, especially with young creatives and things that, you know, if you believe it, you can do it, as cliche as it sounds. If you can dream it, you can do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but for reals. You know, put your head down and you can actually do anything you want to do.
Sure.
And I think that kind of confidence and that sort of mentality will go further than just about any other piece of advice you could get.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the worst advice, you know, I've been pretty lucky. Most of my peers and most of the people I've worked with have been great influences on me and haven't steered me wrong yet. So
sure.
I suspect that the other shoe will drop eventually and we'll run into something. But so far, we've been pretty lucky that way. I haven't received too much bad advice.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, wrapping up real quickly, where can people find out more about you online?
Our company, R2 Media Group, is online at just R2MG. M is in media, G is in group.com. And they can find us there. We're also on Instagram at R2 Media Group, on Twitter at R2MG or R2MG Barcelona or BCN if you want the Spanish version. So, and we're on Facebook and everything, but so probably the best spot is just R2MG.com.
Awesome. Ryan, thank you for taking the time and, taking time away from your work at this late hour or early hour, depending on how you look at it in the evening to do this.
Well, thanks so much for making some time for me. I was excited to do this all week and I'm glad we were able to make a minute.
Yeah, me too.
So cool.
Cool. Thanks. You can find out more about Ryan on Dribbble and Twitter at R2MG, and be sure to check out the links in the show notes for more ways to keep up with him. You can keep up with the podcast on Twitter at CreativeSOPod, and follow Creative South on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CreativeSouthGA, over at CreativeSouth.com, and I'm at Jay Frostholm on Dribbble, Twitter, and Instagram. Don't forget to head over to CreativeSouthGA.com right now to pick up your tickets for Creative South in April of 2017. We're looking forward to seeing you there and hugging some necks. And remember, if you like the show, help support us.
over at patreon.com/creativesouth. And if you like the Creative South podcast, head over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Music. Rate us and leave a review. This helps more people find the podcast and allows us to keep getting awesome guests. Now go out and hug some necks.